holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Do you know we connected with heaven? There's something about spontaneous worship. What you heard was going on in heaven. We were literally repeating what was going on in heaven. Spontaneous worship is so powerful. I remember when I came home from Kent and I had, my brain was ravaged and I had was so addicted to all types of substances and whatnot. And Jesus had set me free, but I was still battling a lot of brain stuff, just a lot of mind stuff. And I used to really struggle with sleep and I couldn't sleep and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I was still panicking. And I had come to a worship service here on a Sunday night. And between songs, which I had never heard before, there was people just spontaneously worshiping. They weren't reading words off a page or off the screen. They were just going off into their own thing and singing songs and tongues and singing in English. And it was new to me. And I remember going home that night. It's a power of worship. When I would normally be panicked, I woke up and heard the voices of the people in the congregation singing. I heard spontaneous worship. I heard spontaneous praise going on in my head. And I had such a peace come over and cover me when I was normally panicked. And I want you to understand how important and how impactful it is for you to open up your mouth and release heaven. You don't know who's next to you that may be struggling. You don't know who may be in your aisle that has thought about suicide today. You do not know who is in the house that is struggling with depression and anxiety. You don't know what battles people face that are in your proximity. And when you open up your mouth and you release heaven from your mouth, things change. Things change. Something's moving. Something's changing. See, His glory feels like heaven on earth. Jesus made a way for us to connect to heaven. When that veil was rent in the temple and the holiest of holies was opened up, Jesus made a way for us to have access to the Father. He gave us a way to have access to heaven. And we can go in anytime we want. This isn't the Old Testament where we got to slaughter a bunch of animals. He went into the holiest of holies one time with His blood. And when He was on the cross and said, "It is finished," He meant it. So this message came from a time of prayer with some of the leaders. And we were in the room over there. And I've been in that room 500 times, you know. I looked to my right and there was a clock on the wall. And on the clock, there was this dude like this. I mean, literally on the clock. It's an infinity clock. Most infinity clocks have this dude like this, which is interesting. And it's interesting that the word infinity is on there, endlessness. And I look over and I just heard, "Run the race, run the race." And later on, I got, "Run it to win. Run the race to win." And this is where this all came. This message was that time. And God opened up so many things to me and scripture-wise. And we're going to start in John 20. It's an interesting place to start. I was led here and I was like, why am I in John? I can't talk right now. Why am I in John? What does John 20 have to do with anything? And this is what it says. It says, "Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene," and I want you to remember, Mary Magdalene is the one that Jesus delivered of 7 demons. She had 7 demons on the inside of her, and He ministered to her, and they all left her. And I want you to understand something. It's one thing to have a demonic possession with one devil. It's another thing to have 2. 7's a whole other story. This woman was ravaged. She was tormented. She was ripped to and fro. She was just a mess. And Jesus ministered to her, and the devils were released from her. They had to leave in His name. So this is Mary Magdalene. It says she went to the tomb early. This is early. This is when it was dark out. This is after Jesus has been crucified. And it says, she went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. I want you to imagine Mary walking up to the tomb, thinking the tomb is shut. And it says the stone was rolled away. And this isn't like some little stone, little rock or whatever. This is a boulder that is immovable. It doesn't just roll away. So here she is. She sees it. And then what's it say? It says, then she ran. There are some things in your life that will make you run where you wouldn't run otherwise. She ran. And I started to get it. It says she ran and came to Simon Peter. I want you to put yourself in this story. And to the other disciple. This is John, who refers to himself as the other disciple. She ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. I love how that is just thrown in there. John is like, Jesus loved me. Man, he knew that he knew that he knew that he knew that this King and Savior that he walked with loved him so deeply. It meant so much to him and ended up in John and his writings. He just throws it in there. He loved me. Whom Jesus loved. And she said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have laid him. So Mary at this point thinks somebody stole Jesus. Somebody stole him. Listen. And then it says, Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. It says, so they both ran together. I want you to picture this. Simon and John are like, what? They start taking off. Peter. John. Running fast. So they both ran together and the other disciple, I love it. John just likes to get in there and be like, by the way, I outran Peter. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have to say anything about that. How many of you know it's okay to be competitive? Listen, I'm not talking about me competing against you for something or me wanting what you have. We all got our walk with Jesus. But I'm competitive. I don't know about you, but I'm competitive. And if I'm running next to Peter, I want to beat Peter to the tomb. I want to outrun him. They both ran together and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he's stooping down and looking in. Now picture now. So this tomb is open. And Peter comes in. John comes in because he outran him. Stooping down. John stoops down, looks in, and he saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he didn't go in. So he's like, and I don't know if it was just not lawful to go on in there, or if he was like, I don't want to get caught in there. But for whatever reason, he just kind of peeked in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there. And if you study that where it says saw, John peeked in, Peter was like, hold on. So Peter goes up on inside of the tomb and is like, what is going on up in here? Up in here. What is going on up in here? Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here. Simon Peter came in, following him. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with linen cloths, but folded together in a place by him itself. I want you to picture this. Jesus has risen up, and Jesus is doing his laundry inside the tomb. This stuff that was on me is not on me anymore. These grave clothes, I don't need them. I don't need them. So he's in there folding his stuff at some point. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with linen cloths, but folded together in the place by itself. Then the other disciple came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then it says, the disciples went away again to their homes, but Mary hung out. There's something about being delivered in a magnificent glory in the way that makes you want to hang out and not just move along. It makes you want to hang out there. Listen, in worship today, we were hanging out here. Do you hear me? So when that is happening, don't let your mind drift off to what you're having after. You know, what's going on with lunch? What's going on tomorrow? What happened yesterday? Plug in during those times. I know sometimes it seems weird. It may seem a little goofy. It may seem a little this and that. But man, if you walked into heaven right now, you'd be looking around going, well, this is crazy. Day, it says day and night. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. It is all about Him. All about Him. Always in heaven. They didn't know the scripture that He's going to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their homes. But Mary hung out, stood outside by the tomb weeping. Boy, did she get a reward for hanging out. And as she, And as she wept, she stooped down, looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. He's not there anymore. He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive. Listen, and when you plug into His aliveness, it'll make you one. You hear me? This isn't dead religion. We are living stones being built up into a house, a holy priesthood for a dwelling of the Most High God. That is who we are. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus lay. And then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Maybe He's saying that to us today. Why are you anxious? Why are you depressed? Why are you mourning? Why are you weeping? I am alive. Do you not think that I can't deliver you from these things? I made the heaven and the earth. Do you think I can't deliver you from that? Listen, His sacrifice is rich enough. It's big enough. It's magnificent enough. It's glorious enough for us to walk in freedom. He paid a heavy, heavy, heavy price for us to walk free every day. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid Him." Now when she had said this, she turned around. Are you inside the tomb with her right now? Are you in there with her right now? And saw Jesus standing there. I want you to understand the adrenaline flow that was running through her. Probably mind going a million different directions. Like pinching herself. What is happening? Remember, this is all happening in a garden. Isn't it awesome that the fall happened in a garden and then we're back into a garden again? Do you realize that Jesus has taken everything from the fall and made it new again? That literally in Him, the curse is reversed. So He's back at the garden, providing full deliverance. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She supposed Him to be the gardener. She thought Jesus was the gardener. Well, He is, in some respect. He calls you a garden. He calls you a field. He wants to bear fruit out of your field. That's why the gardener's all up in your business all the time. He's like, stop weeding. Stop moving the stones out. He's like, I got to get you into a place where I can use you. That's why I got to weed your garden. That's why I got to get up and I got to remove the stones. And I know sometimes it hurts. I know sometimes it's painful. But that's what the Bible says. It says that whom God chastises, they are true sons. I mean, we just talked about the idea of sonship in here today, that you've been adopted. I'd be concerned if He was leaving me alone. She thought he was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, I want you to put yourself in the feet of Jesus right now." And Mary's looking at you, thinking that you're a gardener. And she's saying, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." I can't help to wonder if Jesus just had this smile. Like Mary. And Jesus said to her, "Mary." There's an exclamation point there. "Mary." She turned and said to him, Rabboni. Which is to say teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. But he said, "Don't cling to me." But you know what? Now, after the resurrected Christ has gone into the most holy of holies and the veil is rent, now he says, "Come on and cling to me. Come on and cling to me. Come on and grab on me. Come on and touch me. Come on and get in my presence. Come on. Come on." I wonder if that pained him to tell Mary, "You can't do it. No, right now. No. Don't do it yet." But then, after the resurrection, the doors are open wide. And now he says, "Hey, come on. When you're in a time of need, come on and cling to me. When you're depressed, come on and cling to me. My burden is light. It's not heavy. I'm the one that came to give you life and more abundantly. Not to put a bunch of stuff on you that you can't do. Do you know that anything God presents to you, Jesus puts in front of you, he's equipped you to do. He has equipped you to fulfill it. Resurrection power will cause you to run. Getting a revelation of who Jesus is will cause you to run. I wrote here, this is a time to run. There's times in our walks where God has a sort of urgency. And I don't know if you noticed in here today, but there was a lot of movement. There was a lot of things happening in the spirit. There was a movement. That's why I said there's a shaking going on. There's a moving going on. There's something happening. And God sets us up for the message to come and say, "It's time to run." If you're sleeping, he says, "Wake up, it's time to run." He says, "I'm awake." You know he never sleeps. That's why he can help you sleep. He's not sleeping when you're sleeping. It's time to run. This is not a time to sit back. It's not a time to walk or stroll. It's not a time to go backwards. It's not a time to be stuck in a rut. It's not a time to be complacent. It's not a time to be lazy. It's not a time to stop. It's not a time to walk away. It's not a time to give up. It's a time to run, and not just run, but run to win. I don't like second place. And if you all would admit it and really look inside yourself, you say, "Neither do I." You know it feels good to win. You know Jesus won. And all this forerunner, the Bible calls Jesus a forerunner. Forerunner. He has gone before us. And now he just says, "Come on up behind me. I'm going to teach you how to walk this walk. I'm going to show you how to walk this walk. I'm going to show you how to do it." But there's times where it literally talks about the idea, know the times. There's times where God is like, "Now, it is time to get serious." And I fully believe that there's cycles that happen where sometimes God's like, you know, it's time to rest. Sometimes he pulls us back. I mean, there's times where the disciples were like, "We're going to this city. We're going to this city." And the Holy Spirit's like, "No, you're not. No, you're not." There's times where we have to rest, but there's also times where we have to get up and we have to run. And I fully believe up until this point, there's some of you that are in a cave, literally in a cave. I don't know if you remember the story of David. But David was terrified and he found himself in a cave. David was this valiant warrior and he ends up in this cave. And then within this cave, there's a bunch of people in debt and there's a bunch of people struggling. And they ended up basically being his disciples, so to speak. But there was a time for David to come out of the cave. And I believe one of the words in here for us today is, if you're in that cave, these last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 months, some of you have experienced tragedy. You've experienced things that have almost feel like they're stumbling blocks. They've stopped. You feel like you're at a dead end. You feel like you're in a cave. And I feel a sense like you're hiding. You don't want to step out anymore. You stepped out, but you got hurt. You stepped out and people started talking about you. You stepped out and tried to do this and that, and then you felt like a failure, so you found yourself in the cave. Today's the day Jesus is saying, get out of the cave. It's time to get out of the cave. It's time to get out of the cave. There's nobody in the tomb anymore. Jesus is not in the tomb anymore. He says, if I got up out of the tomb and I'm the forerunner, that gives you the power and the ability to come up out of the tomb also, to come up out of the cave also. I sense it so strong right now. I'm looking at some of you and I know it's for you. You've experienced tragedy and there's so much hurt and pain. But he's saying, if you would just stand up and get up and walk, I'll teach you how to run again. I'm thinking about that guy at the pool. Where day after day, day after day, day after day, day after day, I said the angels would come and stir that water. And he said, every time I try to get up, someone walks in there. Every time I try to get up, someone comes. Every time I try to go, and Jesus said, pick up your bed and walk. Man, I know that's hard for some of you. That's hard. That's a hard word to hear. Man, I've been reading through Jeremiah. You read through Jeremiah. Jeremiah, man, God's telling him, you got to go to these people and you got to tell them this, you got to tell them that, and you got to tell them this. Jeremiah would get beat up, got thrown into a dungeon, got thrown into this place that was just full of muck and mire. I mean, picture this pond just full of muck and mire. Well, that was where he got dipped into and left. And there's probably times where he's like, God, you know what? I thought if I was doing your will, everything was going to be smooth. But I'm amazed when I read these things because I'm like, God, I'm like, can't he have a little bit of comfort in there? You know? But God sees the end from the beginning. He sees the end. He sees the end product in you. And if he has the times, sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's a struggle, sometimes it's like, man, what are you doing, God? Man, I feel lost, God. Man, where are you, God? Where, you know, why I can't make end tails or heads of this thing? He says, just wait. Your story is not over. You are just at a page in a book, and I'm going to turn the page, and I'm going to turn another page, and I'm going to turn another page, and I'm going to turn another page. I say this over and over again, but he is the beginning, and he is the end. He is the A and the Z. He is the Alpha and Omega, and he will take care of everything in between, no matter how tragic it was, no matter how painful it is. Even now, no matter how painful it is, when you get to the end of your story, it will make sense to you. And there's some things that we struggle with. Death of the loved ones, questions of like, why did that happen? It was too early. And then when we get to the end of the story, we are going to thank God and we are going to say, your plan was fulfilled. There's healing in his wings. That's why he says, come take shelter under me. Come take shelter. Cling to me. There's healing in my wings. Come on. He's like, he looks like we're just a bunch of these little chicks. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on up under my wings. Come up under my wings. Come up under my wings. The holiest of holies had the cherubim and had the wings, one on one side, one on the other, and they were touching each other. You know, through the tabernacle, through the curtains, cherubim were interwoven all through the curtains, wings all through the curtains. There's healing in his wings. Run to win. In 1 Corinthians 9, 19, starts in 19. The more we're going to go through this and we're going to end here. It says, for though I am free, this is Paul speaking. For though I am free from all men, listen, he says, I have made myself. Do you know there's times where you have to make yourself get up? For those of you that work out in here, you like to do it all the time, right? Out of 100 workouts, there's 100 workouts where you're like, let's go, I'm ready, come on. No. You got to pick yourself up and you got to do something you do not want to do. You're looking at the treadmill over in the corner and you know you're supposed to get on it. You're looking at the weight set and you know you're supposed to lift the weights. This is an analogy. But you know that the resistance causes pain. It's the same thing spiritually. Sometimes we have to make ourselves do something. And God, when you make yourself do something, God meets you there. I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. I want you to hear that. Why did he make himself? Why did he get his flesh under control? Why did he? He understood the principle that there was a fight going on between the flesh and spirit, and he would feed his spirit, and he would feed his spirit, and he was feeding. That's why he was talking to him, and he's like, I'm glad that I speak in tongues more than everybody. Listen, Paul would be off wherever he was walking, wherever he was. He was building his faith up in the Holy Ghost, praying in the spirit, praying in other tongues, because he knew it was like his spirit man was grabbing the waist and just going, that's why he was able to withstand battles that other people would just fall and faint from. Because his spirit was so built up and his flesh was so squashed. I die daily, is what he said. I die every day because I don't know at 1 o'clock who I need to minister to. I don't know at 6 o'clock who I need to minister to. I don't know if I'm going to get a call at 3 a.m. and who I need to minister to. So I have to die every time I get up. And I know within that death, when a kernel of corn goes into the ground, it produces much fruit. This is wisdom. These are things that will get you over that hump when your flesh is screaming to do something else. And God is calling you to do something in the spirit. And that fight goes on. That's why fasting is so valuable and so important. That I may win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law. Not being without law toward God, but under law towards Christ. What he is saying there is I still kept my bearings in Christ. Even though I was able to go up into a drug house and minister to people that were on drugs, I still had my bearings in Christ. Even though, so to speak, I was coming up into their territory, and in and amongst them, they weren't affecting me. I was affecting them. Do you hear that? That's what that means. To the weak, I became as weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. It says, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one? I want you to picture this. There was the Olympics happening at this point in time, but there was also this thing called the Athenian Games, which was actually happening in Corinth. It happened every 2 years. And you know, it wasn't always first place, second place, third place. Do you realize that? So in the beginning, the Olympics, and in these games, the Athenian games, there was one winner. And I want you to imagine, you've trained and you've trained and you've trained. There was wrestling and there was chariot racing. There was actually poetry. Get rid of that. Poetry. There was actually music was part of the Olympics. Chariot racing was part of it. I think they should bring that back. I'll watch some chariot racing. But to train and to train to train, and there was one winner. How many of you know that doesn't really float in society today? But there was one winner. There was one winner. Not everybody could win. There was one. And when he's saying, run in such a way, run in such a way that you may win. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run in such a way. What way? That's what's awesome about the Bible is he explains it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. You know what that means? They got it under control. Not perfect, but they got these specific compartments, rooms, areas of their life under control. Their flesh is under control. The spirit has risen up and has taken residence and is dictating their actions, and the flesh has been smashed, crushed, down. Doesn't have a voice. And if it has a voice, don't talk. Don't talk. is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. The crown, they used to have this like wreath that they would put on their heads. That typically it was a, like pine wreath. And when he was talking about that, sometimes we read that and we picture, well, it's this glorious crown. No, it was like plants on his head. So eventually the plants get put somewhere and they die. So when he's talking about this idea that's a perishable crown, this is, but we for an imperishable crown. So this is what we have to understand. When we are subduing flesh and we are dying to our flesh daily, there is a reward. He says, to have faith, you must believe that I am, but you also, number two, must believe that I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. He's not asking us to do it just to do it. Sometimes, I'm going back to exercise, but sometimes you have to think about, what does that feel like when you're done exercising? Isn't it a good feeling? Doesn't it feel good? Body releases endorphins. It's the same thing spiritually. Why do I need to die daily? Because I know the reward is much greater than satisfying my flesh. Because the Bible talks about like this is an empty cistern. It's literally the cistern has holes in it. The pot has holes in it. And we pour in it, we pour in it, we pour in it, and the water just zzz, and there's nothing left in it. But we got new wineskins. We got wineskins that can hold this anointing. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. Can you imagine a boxer that trained and all they did was shadow box? And now they're in a ring? Mike Tyson had a quote, what was it? Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. That was his quote. So my point is, you better get punched in the face before you get an actual boxing ring. We're not looking to shadow box. He's like, I love it because I'm a sports guy, but I'm not beating the air. I'm not swinging at nothingness. We're hitting targets. We're almost done. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. I'm not a shadow boxer. But I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. What he's talking about there is not losing his salvation. He's talking about not losing his reward. The Bible says that there's going to be a group of people that barely skim in, literally, as a fire. Everything's burnt off and now they've come into, I don't know what that looks like, but the rewards are not all the same. That's quiet. But he knows incentive is important. He's the one that said, you must believe that I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. He said, you got to understand that. Because if you don't understand that, you're going to be dead in the water. If you think you're just doing it just to do it, your game is over. You have to have something out in front of you. That's what he said. You know what Jesus said? He literally endured the cross for the what? The joy that was what? Set before him. Do you think when he was being kicked, spit on, and mocked, he wasn't thinking of you? He wasn't thinking of your salvation? He wasn't thinking of you, your freedom? Man, he saw the big picture. Because he is the beginning and the end. He saw the end from the beginning. Disciplines his body, brings it to subjection. Y'all can stand. Expect challenging messages to come from the pulpit. Again, we profess this idea that you should either don't tickle ears. Speak the truth. People don't get set free unless you speak the truth. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes it get a splinter up in your finger. But Lord, we thank you right now. And Lord, I pray this anointing, resurrection power, that stone was rolled away and you rose again. I pray that power cause your people to run. Those that are walking, those that are complacent, those that are in a stuck spot would be released, released, released. I pray a release for you. I pray any place that you're shackled, any place where your feet are stuck in the mud, that you be released in the name of Jesus. be released in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you walk in resurrection power every day. Resurrection power. I pray resurrection power in this congregation, in this body. Resurrection power to your body. He rose again. You're going to rise again. I'm going to say it. He rose again. You're going to rise again. In Jesus' name. The prayer people want to come on up.